Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the Time of Truth.
Good to be here today. Praise God, what a day the Lord's made. Our numbers are down a little bit. I thought spring break was over, but we may still be in break time. But it's good to have each one here today. I want to thank those that came out and supported us in a little church down in Monterey this past week. It was a good place to be. My brother Ted Stepp and his precious wife, and pray for them down there at the church. You know what? Pastors need prayer. I appreciate the song, Sister Christine. That's exactly right. This is where my heart's at today. This has been on me since about Thursday. I thought I might even preach it Thursday night to church down there, but I didn't. I'm in John chapter 18. I know that it's getting close to crucifixion day and resurrection day. And, Easter, resurrection Sunday is just upon us here. Next week, our good friend Mike Blanton and him will be here. We'll have a birthday dinner for me. If you all want to fix something, I'll eat it, I promise you. And it's just an excuse to get together and have a good meeting. But it is the season of resurrection. You're starting to see it. May I go on record saying it's not about eggs and bunnies. Amen. Don't have a thing to do with it. Amen. That is paganism with a capital P. Big P. You shouldn't go there, preacher. I'm just saying, if you want to hide eggs and hunt them, I like boiled eggs. I like them. I like an egg. I like an egg. You can't mess an egg up. You can crack an egg, put it in a glass, pour some milk and sugar on it, and drink that thing, and it's pretty good. You can't mess an egg up. But it's not about eggs. It's about the Lord. John 18, my reading, I'm going to begin in verse 28. Bear with me, a lot of reading here, but if I don't do this, it's out of context. You won't get it, and we want it to be all be contained in the proper context. If you found John 18 and 28, shout amen for me. Amen. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled. Isn't that funny? But that they might eat the Passover. I mean, they are neck deep in the law here and tradition. And they have failed miserably to recognize who Jesus was, even though He's done all the signs and wonders that those within the Old Testament prophecies had been written. He had fulfilled them. They should have been able, and they knew the law. They knew what the prophets had said, but they failed to recognize because He didn't come the way they expected. Pilate then went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" They answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee." Now, if it had been a woman that had done like they wanted to do when they brought the one caught in adultery to Jesus, they'd have stoned her to death and left her out in the desert. Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." Well, now that's not true. The Old Testament law gave reason. They're under Roman rule here, so what they're saying is, "You won't let us do it." By God's law, if one was guilty of law, and they're still under the law right here. Hit a stump right there. The law is not fulfilled until Christ dies. Then the law is fulfilled. Nobody, they may have been believers up to that time, but no one is actually saved until the sacrifice is made. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which He spake, signifying what death He should die. I think that's in Matthew 17 where you'll find that. He told them, said, "Son of Man's going to be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles, and they're going to crucify Him, and He's going to rise the third day." Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? I like this. Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Now, Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence, not from here. You know that we're birthed into a spiritual kingdom. There's a kingdom coming, by the way. Now we're in that thing spiritually right now. One day, I'm going to be in that thing supernaturally. I'll be in a body, but it'll be supernatural. That's good. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? Father, I love you, and I thank you for this day, and for the chance to be behind this desk. Once again, Lord, what a privilege to be here. How honored. God, what responsibility lies upon us today to be accurate in this Scripture. Help me, Lord. Fill my mouth and guard my tongue and preach me inside the bounds of the book. Save some lost soul here today. God, that would be glorious. That would be a glorious event to see someone saved today. I pray, God, that you touch the hearts of your people. Help me answer the question that Pilate asked Jesus. Ask you, Lord, that day. I pray in the name of the King and Jesus' name I ask. Amen. And amen. Pilate asks a question, walks away, and he doesn't wait for an answer. A lot of folks don't want the answer today. What is truth? That's what I want to try to preach for just a little few minutes this morning. There's a lot of speculation or a lot of different ideas concerning this. What is truth today? And men of modern men have tried to change the truth, and we'll say, well, that's what they're doing in this modern age. No, friend, they've done it in the day of the Romans. When Paul's writing the letter to the Romans, you know what he said to them in Romans 1 and 25? He's talking to the fools. He said, fools change the truth of God into a lie. A foolish man that tried to change this book. Pilate asked the question, what is truth? And the truth was standing right in front of him. I'm going to try to answer this question this morning. 237 times in the Word of God, you're going to find the word truth. I found it interesting that John has truth in it. It's got it in it 27 times. And that's more than three times than all the other Gospels combined. I don't think it's coincidence that John is revealing Jesus as God and the truth, and then it speaks to that truth more than all the other Gospels. In Matthew, you've heard me say it over and over. Matthew, he's typified as a king. In Mark, he's typified as a servant. In Luke, he's typified as a perfect man. But in John, he's God. I read a story of a missionary who went to a third world country and he took New Testaments with him. Might have been some of the things Brother Larry and his friends have helped get around. Who knows? This fellow came up to him and he said, Look, he said, can I have one of those books? He said, You sure can. He said, I'm going to tell you. He said, I'm going to use it for rolling paper, and I'm going to smoke it because I got tobacco and I don't have paper. The fellow asked him, he said, will you promise me this? Will you read the page before you smoke it? He said, I will. If you'll give it to me, before I smoke it, I'll read the page. So it had been some period of time. I forgot how long it was in the story. This man showed back up, and that guy thought, man, he's already smoked the New Testament. The fellow told him, come up a second, I have another one of those books. He said, you already smoked that other one? He said, well, no. He said, I smoked Matthew. He said, I smoked Mark. He said, I smoked Luke. But when I got to John, he said, something happened to me. Something happened to me, and I just couldn't smoke John. And I got the calling on that God that John talked about. Said, I got gloriously saved. If you give me another book, I won't smoke it up. Why? Because John chose him for who he is. So, I don't find it unusual. John 1 and 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and A+. John 1:17, the law was given by Moses. But what come? By Jesus Christ? Grace and truth by Jesus Christ. John 3:21, he that doeth truth cometh to the light. John 4:23 and 24, the hour cometh and now is, that they that worship the Father shall worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Father seeketh such to worship Him, for God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 8:32. You shall know the truth and... Amen. John 14:6. I am the way, the... and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth is come, He shall guide you in all truth. I like this. John 17:17. We need to read John 17:17 or John chapter 17 at least once a week. It's the prayer Jesus prayed for us on the way to Calvary. John 17:17 says this. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Truth in the Greek says this. It's called aletheia. And if Corbin's here, I may have butchered that, but that's the best I can do with it. And here's all it says. To define that in the Greek word for what we have translated as truth, it says this. True, truth. Or verity. That's all it says about it. So the expectation in the Greek is this, that we would know what truth is. It doesn't matter whether you disagree with the truth or not. It's still true. I don't know. I'm kind of like the old country boy. They asked him, they said, pie or square? He said, no. Pie or round, cornbread or square. That's kind of how I am when it comes to mathematical equations. But hey, whether I understand that or not, it's still true. Somebody give me a cell phone. I know somebody's got one in their pocket. Jimmy's got one. A 100 years ago, I'm talking about truth. And I'm going to define it in just a moment. 100 years ago, I walk up to someone. Let's go back in our mind. Use your imagination for a moment. We go back 100 years. That'd be 1919. Would that be right? And I walk up to someone and I hold up a cracker or a matchbox that used to be about the size of a matchbox. The big boxes and people needed matches. That's about a thing of the past now, but at one time, it was very important. They didn't travel without some matches. Or at least a good Flintstone. I mean, they had it. So, I walk up to someone with something and say, do you know in 100 years from now, I'm going to be able to talk to someone anywhere in the world on something this size right here? Better than that, I'm going to be able to see things on the other side of the world with something that size right there. You know what they'd have said? That's not true. Just because we don't understand it doesn't make it untrue. Because all these young people today know exactly. You hold up an iPhone or a what's the other one? Android. You hold that up, they know exactly what that is. They can probably use it better than we can. Do you know the Bible predicted that? Not the iPhone, not Apple. Who, Jimmy? Yeah, so knowledge will increase. Many will run to and fro. Knowledge will increase, but he's more specific than that. He said there's going to be two witnesses die during the tribulation period, and everybody's going to see them. He is way ahead of us. How are you going to do that? Well, just pick your iPhone up or your Android. Look at that thing on the screen. Get on the internet. Hey, you'll be able to see the witnesses lay in the street, and you'll be able to see them get up, bless God, when the Holy Ghost comes in and says, get back up, boys. It's going to turn this world on its ear. See? Didn't understand it. Some of that book leaves me scratching my head. I'd say some prophecies in there, Ezekiel especially, whether that is... whether that sacrifice is literal or spiritual, I declare, I still think maybe we're going to see the natural. We're going to see it literally. Sacrifice is reintroduced to the temple at the time of Christ and the kingdom. And for the life of me, it's a little strange to me why that's going to happen. But I believe Ezekiel's talking about it. So these parts, but just because I may not understand it, doesn't mean it's not true. Let me define truth, if I may, through a fellow by the name of Noah Webster. If there's anybody ever saved on this earth, I'm convinced Noah Webster was a Christian. Because when you find in the definition of truth, and you come down to, he's got nearly, I think there's 18 of them listed under truth. When you get to number 17, praise God, which was the day of the crucifixion, by the way. When you get down to that day, here's what it says. Jesus Christ, the truth. That's why the school systems don't want Noah Webster's 1828 in the school system today, because he talks about Jesus. Here's what he said about truth. Okay. Truth. Listen real close. Conformity to fact or reality. Conformity to fact or reality. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. The mind has to be renewed. We need to be regenerated in order for us to conform to this fact and reality of, I think John's been pretty plain here. I read you several scriptures about the truth. Doesn't stop there. Exact accordance with that. And three things he gives us. I'm going to try to preach them real quick. Three things he gives us. Exact accordance with that. Number one, which is. Which is. Exact accordance with that, which is. That's truth. Am I in accordance with that, which is? Who could we be speaking of here? Which is, let me give you a couple of verses. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Huh? Could that be what which is? Exact accordance, in accordance with that which is. That's truth. We understand Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. Is that which is? Who is that? It's a perfect description of Jesus, which is. He's not gone anywhere. He hadn't changed. He's the same today. Get a hold of this. that keeps us from being in the very places that God would have us be. You can't prove that in Scripture. I can too. Jesus said this to the blind guy, "As thy faith is, so be it unto thee. According to thy faith, be it unto thee." He said, "O woman, thou hast great faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Which is Mark 11:24. "Therefore I say unto you that whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." That's big. I'm not saying that you can pray for someone, everyone that's dying, no, and they'll live. But we prayed for some that they thought was going to die, and they lived. They gave you up, girl. I spoke to some doctors concerning her, and they said, "I'm just going to be honest with you, Mike." I never told her this. I said, "I'll be honest with you. Very few people survive that, if any." Hold your hand up. Look like you're doing pretty good to me. Don't tell me that Mark 11:24 isn't true. I tried him, and he'll do exactly what he said he'll do. His word's true. It is the truth. He was the truth manifest in the flesh. It's true. He's true. That exact accordance to that which is, number one, which is, number two, that has been. He is, and He has been. Listen to the Scripture. John 8:58. "Before Abraham was, I am." Do you think He has been? Oh yeah, how far back has He been? From the beginning. When was that? I have no idea. I just know before it all started, there He was. Not only which is, but has been. John 17:5. I like this. "Lord, restore unto me the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." Give me the glory I had with You before the world was. That's how we can go to Revelation and get this, pull this verse. I think it's out of chapter 13 when He said, "The Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world." He knew what He was going to do before He ever made you and I. I can't hardly swallow that. That's hard for me to get a hold of. He must have wanted us a lot. He wanted a creation that was going to worship Him in spirit and truth, that was going to recognize Him for who He is, which is, and has been. Isn't that good? There's one more. Exact accordance with that which is, has been, shall be. Why? You know what we do? We look through that glass darkly. But one of these days, it's going to be face to face. We're going to see Him as He is. "When He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." I'm going to Luke 1. You hear me preach this often. But if I'm going to get to shall be, I'd never caught all of this until I was at study this morning. "The angel appeared unto Mary and said, Fear not, Mary, for thou shalt conceive in thy womb, shall bring forth a son, shall call His name Jesus. And He shall be great. And He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God His Father shall give unto Him the throne of His father David, and of His kingdom there shall be no end." There's a lot of shall be's in there I thought lined up very well with exact accordance with that which shall be. There's a kingdom coming, according to Luke 1. Jesus, listen, I know some of our fathers of traditional days gone by did not believe in that, but they just didn't understand it, didn't make it any less true. Luke chapter 1, he has never sat on the throne in Jerusalem. Never. But the angel, in speaking to her, a messenger from God, told her what was going to transpire with him. And you know what happened? They took him to Calvary and he died for the sin of the world. But one of these days, Brother Paul read it out of 25. That was perfect. Set me up this morning. Out of Matthew 25, when he's judging the nations there, the goats on the left and the sheep on the right. And during that tribulation time, those that are given that drink of water, he said, "You've done it unto me." Hey, watch this. That even refers to us today, doing it to those that are less blessed than some of us. But he's going to set that kingdom up. He told that one Pharisee, he said, look, the kingdom is in you. He wouldn't talk to him specifically, but he's talking about then. Spiritual kingdom. It is within us. But one of these days, it will be about us. We will be out about that kingdom. He is going to set, according to that, he's going to give him the throne of his father, David, and he shall rule his kingdom. There shall be no end. There he is. Now, Luke 11 and 2, when we pray, we say this, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. We pray for the coming of the kingdom. Why? We're part of that. You act like you're asleep this morning. Here's the thing about us in the natural realm. Exact according to that which is. You know what that? Let's refer that to us now. You know what we are? Living. Brother Branch used my verse in Sunday school this morning. In Him we live, move, and have our being. We're living. You don't draw your next breath unless God bless you to do it. If He don't bless you, your lung, your heart quits beating right now. You die. You die. Number one, which is us. Let's refer it to us. We're living. Has been, you know what we have been? Born. You can't live unless you're born. We have been born, therefore we live. This is true. You can't deny it. There's nothing false about it. You can't make that untrue, no matter what the philosophers of modern day said. You can't deny it. I'm alive. I've been born to glory to God. Exactly in accordance with that, which is, has been, but here, listen to this, shall be. It's appointed unto man once to die. And every ignoramus that tries to deny that needs to go with me to all the funerals that I preach and follow that suffering, separated family to the graveyard and say, "Now, Einstein, what do you think about that?" It doesn't matter. You may not think yourself dead. You're still dead. Young person, you will die. You don't have to be old to die. All you've got to do is be born and be living, and death is on these young men's trail. And it will find you one day. You can try to hide and run and do all these things. I'm going to will myself to live. And if in the Spirit of God and by the power of God, there is some possibility in that to a point. But one of these days, the bound is set that I can't pass. I'm going to come to that bound and God's going to say, "Mike McCoy, you're coming home." And you know what, Paul? I'll go home. I'll just get up, I'll park this thing, I'll step out of this thing, and I will go home. Someone was asking, I'll not give names, I don't even know if I know the names. Someone was asking about someone who's about to die. They think they're close to their deathbed. And they ask the question, are they saved? And someone said, well, they say they are. And that's all that's all we can do is take people at their word. Because the only one I know saved in this room today is Mike McCoy. I can't be saved from Randy, and Randy can't be saved from me. And I've got full confidence in this man right here that he's God's man. But when it come right down to it, Johnny, if we stand at the end of the rope, all I could say is, hey, Randy, you're on your own, my friend. I'm going to take what I got. Because I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Because I know I'm going to die. And I know where I'm going when I leave here. And here's what I want to do. I want to leave my wife, my son, my daughter-in-law, and our soon-to-be grandson. I want to leave them with a pile of fruit that they can say, you know what? I look back. I've seen some fruit in old dad's life. Not because he's a preacher. There's a lot of unsaved people preaching today. Not because we come to church. There's a lot of unsaved people sitting in the pews of the church today. But what he done is he lived of the gospel. He followed the gospel. He had some fruit for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I've been with them that had it, and I've been with them that didn't. And let me tell you, it's easier to slip your arm around those that you're sure about and say, you know what? They told me from their own lips, I love Him. He's the Lord. He saved me. They could break me back to a personal experience. The day they were saved, they may not tell you the day or the exact time, but they take you to the place. That's the truth. And if you know that, it'll make you free today. If you want to be free. But not a lot of people want to be free. You know what? People keep smoking because they don't think it'll kill them. It'll shorten your days. Say, well, I know somebody that's 90 years old smoked all their life. You might know a few that do that. But I can point you to 100 others that done it and their lungs are crusted over and they died a rough death. My daddy's one of them. He'd quit for 10, 15 years before he died. But you know what? The damage was done. That's the truth. I care too much about you to lie to you. I want you to know that if you're not born again, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You will not. You won't go. Your family may go. Your children may go. Your wife, your husband may go and the wife be left behind. You will not go unless you've been born again and trust in the Lord Christ as Savior. You won't get there. Brother Johnny, that's the truth. Amen. Where do you get all that information? Out of this book. Heaven and earth will pass away, but he said, my word. My word. Brother Junior Gardner said Friday night, he said, you know what I'm standing on? He said, I'm standing on the word. What are you standing on? If somebody asks you right now, if you died right now, you're going to go to heaven. Could you honestly say, would it be true if you said, not a doubt in my mind? I may be at the end of the list when it comes to rewards. I got to thinking about some of these people that have suffered for the cause of Christ and how pampered I've been, and I felt ashamed. But I tell you this, if I drop over right here, right now, you can sing Sweet Heaven in View. Because I know that I know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know it today. I say this often. I had a kid give me a card one time. I said this so much in the revival one week. You can't fake it and make it. You ever been saved? You're a Christian? Christian, do you know the truth? Isn't it good to know the truth? Isn't it good to know? It's the truth. The truth. The Word of God. Come to the piano. Randall, you can refine the song. We broadcast the seed of the Word. We throw it out, Brother Johnny, about every week. We're throwing it here and there. And I find that it finds mostly the stony places. The soil used to be better prepared. When people come to church, they didn't come for entertainment. They didn't come to only hear what they perceive themselves, but they come to hear the truth. And I'm telling you, I'd give you a bunch of Bible a day and not no opinion. I'd give you the truth. And I pray that the seed find good soil today. You could die this afternoon. You better know you're saved. Let's stand our feet, Brother Randall, lead us in song.
Page 390 at the bottom.
If you need to be saved today, you ought to come to an old-fashioned mourner's bench and say, God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.